You ever wonder who's or what started this thing called hair metal? Most rock historians trace it to the 1983 breakout release from the band Quiet Riot, the album Metal Health. It's just what people call, was what reviewers and critics were calling the band. That's what they were calling their style of music. Hair metal. So between MTV and rock radio, the tracks Metal Health, Come On, Feel the Noise were inescapable. And by the time I got back to school in the fall of 1983, everyone was all about this new band, although they weren't new, Quiet Riot, as they blasted it from all their boomboxes all over bus stops, playgrounds, and school cafeterias. So, take out your spandex, get it out of the mothballs, blow the mothballs out, blow the dust off it, because on this week's Ludini Rock and Roll Circus podcast, we will break down the album that started the hair metal craze, Quiet Riot's Metal Health. Get ready to rock out with your talk out. It's the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. Moms and dads, boys and girls, children of all ages, welcome to the circus. My name is Lou Lombardi, a.k.a. Ludini, and I am your ring master for what everyone calls the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. That's at least what we call it, where we come to you every week with great insights. Right, Lily and
yes.
Gavin? Right?
Yes.
The deepest... Right. You know, heaviest thoughts about rock and metal, rock and roll, punk rock, alternative, all that stuff where those guitars are really loud and in your face. That's what we're all about here. If you like that sort of thing, you're in the right place. And if you're watching on YouTube, please go ahead and dingle-dongle that little thumb there, that thumbs up, and please subscribe as well. We've been picking up a few subscribers without really doing anything, so that's kind of a good thing. We must be doing something right. Mm-hmm, here at the podcast. Mm-hmm. So we have a good time. It's kind of a comedy show. It's kind of a music show. We just kind of like try to give you guys some insight on some of your favorite stuff related to guitar-driven rock. I want to give a shout-out to a couple of sponsors. First of all, I want to shout-out to Wolf's Customs, wolfscustoms.online. This is where you get awesome custom paint jobs, custom finishes done on your musical instruments. So, you know, if you really want to kind of maybe you want to bring glam back, right? So you need a guitar that's really going to stand out. You need a bass that's really going to stand out. You need your drums painted in a way that are really going to stand out. This is the guy you want to talk to, Chris Thunderwolf Dotson at wolfscustoms.online. They will hook you up. RockRageRadio.com. Please download that app, and you can listen to great music-related programming 24/7, totally free. It's not even the $2 or $5 a month. It's serious charges. It's totally freaking free. It is a great thing, and it is a small business owned by an awesome couple who are passionate about music. And so in this day and age, if you can support a small business, you definitely want to do it. RockRageRadio.com. There's a little app. Download it. Totally legit. You guys are going to love it. There's some great programming on there like the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus, as well as
Hot Licks with Lily Six.
That's right. So we do have a Rock Rage celebrity on the team here. We have Lily V6 from Rock Rage Radio. What's up, Lily?
I'm doing great. I saw music all weekend long.
We're going to talk about that in a minute. And we have Pittsburgh Kevin.
Hey, everybody.
All right. Pittsburgh Kevin is here as well. Keith the Hawk Hawkins, we love you. Keith and I did a Zoom, get blended on Zoom over the weekend, where we got pretty tuned in with some good booze and just talked about life. So Keith is doing great, and he will be rejoining the podcast hopefully sooner rather than later. Also, of course, our websites, LudiniRockAndRollCircus.com, as well as LouLombardiMusic.com. With free downloads, if you go to LouLombardiMusic.com, you can get the lyrics and the story behind my latest single, Peace in the Valley. So you can check that all out at LouLombardiMusic.com. So, Lily had an exciting weekend. You guys okay if we talk a little bit amongst ourselves for a minute before we get into Quiet Riot? Yeah, they're okay with that.
Oh, good. So, I'm glad you have some sort of weird thing in your ear.
All right. And one other thing I just want to say real quick is, like, as best we can, guys, let's try to pay attention to the audience and give them shout-outs. Before we get into this, I can see somebody's watching right now.
We do have Chris Thunderwolf and company, Todd Kane, and Bill Thomas.
All right, guys. The Ludini Rock and Roll Circus says salute.
Salute.
Okay, so you did some fun stuff, Lily. You had a music-filled weekend.
I did. So Friday and Saturday was the Rock for Life Gigaroo show, which featured all bands from the area. I'm not going to be able to name them all because I can't remember, but Chip and the Charge Ups, Unbroken Soul, Blood Union, Common Crown, plus many other amazing bands in the area. And that was 2 days, and that goes to charity. They give it to children's charity, so that's awesome. And then Sunday, I went and saw Jackal at Jurgles to a sold-out show.
Jackal at Jurgles?
Yes.
For the big question.
Rock and roll me, jackal me off.
That's
on his shirt.
Oh, okay. But the big question, did you get a piece of the stool?
I didn't. I was not close enough. I know. But
Wait a minute. Lily.
Okay, I have to explain what a piece of the stool means.
Did you get a piece of the stool? Okay, so, it's not that kind of show.
Yikes.
If nobody
no brown.
If nobody understands what that means, I will go ahead and explain. So Jesse James, he's the lead singer of Jackal. He uses a chainsaw for the song The Lumberjack, and at the end of the show, he will chainsaw up a piece or a stool, an actual stool that you sit on, and then people take that from the stage.
Oh.
He did do a meet and greet afterwards.
Yeah.
So I got my
Saw some great photos.
You got what?
I met him. I met Jesse James and the whole band. Okay. And also he signed they all signed my ticket. So it was pretty cool.
Ticket. Okay.
Yes, my ticket stub.
Yeah. Well, you started to say something,
you
stopped.
You thought
and
I was gonna say tits. Well, no. Because that's not forever.
No. Not what I was thinking at all.
But yes, it was amazing to see everybody out because it was a sold out show and it was crowded
it
and
was
beautiful.
A sold out show.
And it was, and there was that
the roar of the crowd. Like a picture of the scene. What is it through the wall? Like a distant scream.
I'm gonna jerk
I heard
this.
One chainsaw.
But if you are friends with me on Facebook, you can see the photos there.
Just one chainsaw.
Wow.
So he's got to keep a sawing. Ain't never going to stop.
I don't know how you guys
keep
do that.
Keep on sawing.
I can't. I'm not quick like that.
To be a chainsaw hero. Since, got Jackal on his shirt.
I will show you pictures later.
Okay. Yes, Jackal is a freaking great time. That was one of the best freaking concerts I ever saw.
They're fun.
I only saw them one time, and it was in the heyday when Down on Me and all the songs were out on the radio.
Screwdriver. That's my favorite one.
Every Mother's Nightmare opened. They were a good band, too. But Jackal came on, and they just absolutely burnt down Fisher Auditorium at IUP. It was just an awesome, awesome show. And I was in the band Slick Sammy. Shout out to Sammy Gabud and Willie Franklin. And Greg Rapp, you guys, they're all on Facebook now. We had this band, Slick Sammy, that played that kind of music. We played some Jackal
very
songs.
Cool. Nice.
So we went as a band, and like it was just a really good memory. But they kicked ass. They were wildly entertaining. They played their asses off.
They're so funny. And he's like...
They have that sense.
He's like a band of the people. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah. He's like...
You can relate.
He's a great front man. They had a whole thing. It was really fun. It was super fun.
And he had a good time.
I'm sure.
Too.
What's he hosts that show that used to be on Discovery or whatever about Sturgis. Was that him?
Yes. Because he plays at Sturgis every year. So
of course. I mean they're the ultimate biker band.
Oh, for sure.
Of course. Mm-hmm. Okay. Very cool, Lil. I don't really have anything much to report except I do want to say I saw the new Megan Fox movie called Till Death, and it is very, very, very good.
Interesting.
It's very good. It's a small movie, like in a contained space. It's a thriller, and it's very, very good. It's not like Academy Award good, but it's like,
something you can get into.
I was on the edge of my seat. I was interested. I wanted to know what was going to happen. I was scared for the characters. So if you get a chance to see it, check it out. Pretty good. Pretty good. Like, I just don't want to give people the impression it's like the freaking Godfather.
But Lou said it was fantastic.
Yeah, exactly. If you want something like a kind of a thriller.
Do it.
Not horror, but, in that vein. Cool. Okay, guys. Let us get into this topic tonight. I don't know. Do you guys like us to jump right into the topic, or do you like a little bit of banter in the beginning? Somebody let us know, because we want to improve this and we want to make this thing super fun for you guys. And so tell us what you like. So speaking of it, we're talking about not mental health.
I always mess it up, too. I know. I always every time.
Mental health.
I think I typed it out.
And it is a
times.
Play on mental health. That is, of course, what they were going through. Hence the cover, you know, the artwork.
Show that
for
cover.
For anybody who is watching, we have a copy.
We have a vinyl, a V-nail.
Visual aids. Look at that cover. Look at that cover. Just look at that cover. Oh, there it is.
Hi, Mom.
Just look at that.
My mom's watching.
Hello, Mom.
Hello.
Look at the cover. Look at that cover.
Fantastic.
Very striking.
And actually, we will talk about that cover as well.
Okay.
Awesome. So, what do you want to do? You want to do a little background there on the riot, or how do you want to get into it?
I mean, that's how we usually start, if you'd like to start.
Sure.
Sure.
Jump in.
I'll just jump in. Metal Health, Quiet Riot, March 11th, 1983. So, that made me...
Wow.
Kevin Dubrow, Carlos Cavazo, Rudy Sarzo, and Frankie Benali. RIP to Kevin Dubrow and Frankie Benali.
Yeah.
This is the third studio album by Quiet Riot. It's the first heavy metal album to ever reach.
Randy Rhoads took RIP.
Shh,
I'm getting
to that.
While he's talking.
First heavy metal album ever to reach the top spot on the Billboard 200. So that was sort of a big deal. No other metal bands had reached that point yet. So this is what sort of pushed them to the mainstream. It replaced Police's Synchronicity at number one in November 1983. Because of that placement, it has been called the start of the hair metal era, as Lou said earlier. The album went on to sell more than 10 million copies worldwide. They were an unheard of band, but they were veterans in the rock scene already. They had already had, what was it, two albums prior to that? And when this came out, that sort of pushed them to the top. Everybody knew who they were, as Lou said earlier. Everybody came back to school and said, oh my gosh, have you heard of this band?
Yes.
The first two albums were released in Japan with the young guitarist by the name of Randy Rhoads, RIP to him as well. They lost Rhoads to Ozzy and gathered the lineup that we know now, who I explained earlier. Sarzo now plays for the Guess Who. Dubrow and Benali have passed away, and Cavazo currently has no projects, to my knowledge, that I've been looking at in my research, which is kind of sad. They went on to tour that year. The album came out with Black Sabbath on their Born Again tour in the U.S. The cover of the Slade song. Hold on, I have that too. Slade, this is where it came from. Slade song, Come On, Feel the Noise, along with the title track, Metal Health.
And it appears to be, this is what, it's just a self-titled album, right,
yes.
Lily?
Well, Slade-est.
Slatest.
Yeah. Oh. Like it's their third album, I believe. Slatest. Third
that
or fourth.
And you bought, where does that say, what does that say? Where did you buy that?
I didn't buy that there, so I don't know what that is. I bought it at a used store.
Oh, okay. Okay. Because I thought it had like a Woolworths tag or something. Like,
that would
really
be cool.
It would be,
cool.
But that's not where I bought it.
And this record is very cool. I know we're not talking about this album.
Yeah, no, go ahead.
But it has a open, it opens up and everything, and has
sort of
a
little book,
photos, little booklet.
Oh, that's awesome!
You know, things like that. This is what you don't get with the internet. Yes. Oh, anyways, but go ahead. Lily.
And this is where "Come On, Feel the Noise" came from.
Come, it's spelled C-U-M, by the way.
Both, actually.
Yeah.
But those two songs, "Come On, Feel the Noise" and "Metal Health," pushed the band to the top. But of course, what goes out up sometimes comes down, and the group's fall from grace would prove just as sudden. This was fueled by alcohol, drugs, ego, money, and had one of the most spectacular whirlwind downward spirals in rock music history. They were making a fortune, but not quite the fortune that Dubrow was hoping for, and went on to several interviews to blast his record company.
Yeah, they made a bad deal.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of
as well as fellow musicians who he said were riding on Quiet Riot's coattails.
Yes,
you don't
remember that.
Yeah. Poop where you eat. No. You just don't do it.
And so which musicians were those?
I did not pick all the musicians out, so I don't know them all.
Okay.
It's but there is a great whole segment on that when you watch the Behind the Music. He literally, they show half the interview on there. So go watch that if you want to see the whole thing on that. Basically, the band could not recover the success of Metal Health with the next albums or a lineup change when they did ultimately end up firing Dubrow. Some critics describe Metal Health as a one-hit wonder owing to Quiet Riot's relative lack of critical and commercial success with the following albums. And towards the end of the 1980s, they sort of like went So it went up so fast and it came down.
Yeah, there was, you know, well, like as Neil Young says, it's better to burn out than to fade away.
Mm-hmm. Legit. Mm-hmm. This is
Rust
one of...
Rust never sleeps. Go ahead.
I had to have this album, though, when I was old enough to know what it was. So I'm glad I finally did find it. It was probably about a year ago I bought it. With same time I bought Slatest, because I had to have them both at the same time.
Of course.
And,
Lily, you are a real music fan.
I know.
I'm glad that we have you on this podcast.
I'm one of those people.
Yeah, you're one of those people, all right.
And I have only seen Quiet Riot live.
Quiet Riot live once,
and it was at Jurgles, and it was amazing, and that's when Frankie was still alive. So,
but not when Kevin was still alive.
No.
First of all, I want to talk about Quiet Riot. I think that is a great freaking name. Quiet Riot. It's got the rhyme. It's got the rock and roll kind of like thing. You know, it's got the riot, you know, and all that. I think that it's a really cool name for band, and there is much written about naming a band and how that very often that can make or break a band. There's many instances, but just one, a local instance I will tell you guys. Everybody knows the band Live.
Yes.
That is not what they were called when they were signed. And I'm sorry, I don't have it. We could look it up later. But that is the record label changed their name.
Huh.
And it's a great name, and it was a great name for that band, and it really worked out for them. So having a great name, I think, is really important. I wanted to talk about a couple of things. Carlos Cavazo, according to Eddie Trunk, him as well as, you guys remember Vito Bratta
from White Lion?
Mm-hmm. These guys, gentlemen, are, for all intents and purposes, retired.
Right.
They're just not interested in doing the thing anymore. They're done.
Well, Vito had tendonitis, the hand problem that never really went away.
Yeah, he's come right out and said, it was fun. I had a good time. It was cool, but I'm just... I'm just done. So that is why we just don't hear a lot. This album is interesting, and there is a guitar solo by Carlos Cavazo that we will talk about when Lily gets to that particular segment that I have some thoughts on. And we did mention that Randy Rhoads was a founding member.
Yes.
Yes.
Of this band. And if you, there's no one but here that is a fan of rock and metal that doesn't know who Randy Rhoads is. So I don't think we need to go into
let's
that.
Let's not explain all
but
that.
But I discovered this very cool YouTube channel accidentally on Sunday as I was recovering from my hangover from Saturday. Sunday I could not get in gear. Like, I meant to send out the email and stuff on Sunday, but I was just like, so that's a real good advertisement for me. I'm a drunk.
On the weekends.
Yeah. Anyway, so you guys all know, man, I'm burning a candle at all four ends Monday through Friday. So anyways, it's called Carl's Guitar Channel. Again, speaking of stupid names, it's a terrible name. So you would look at that, you'd be like, who the hell's Carl?
Carl.
I'm Carl and my guitar. Yeah. Anyways, the guy that hosts this channel is not, I do not believe his name is Carl, but he was a local figure in the Hollywood music scene starting in the very late 70s through the 80s and the early part of the 90s. And he did things like saw Van Halen in clubs.
Nice.
And stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Met them when they were just like a local band.
Right, right.
So he's had opportunity to be invited to parties and stuff like that, and has met everybody. John Sykes, Steve Lukather, Eric Clapton. He's got photos with absolutely everybody. Wow. But he's a really good researcher, and something that, like, maybe we should have him on the podcast sometime, or maybe we should study some of his stuff, because he has really, but he knows these guys personally, so he has great insights about this stuff you just don't know. And I learned something about this Randy Rhoads thing. Now check this out, guys.
Ready.
This is so bizarre. Yes. The bus driver for Ozzy Osbourne was originally hired to be the bus driver for another band. And they came out, they're a famous band, and they came out and they saw this guy. Their bus driver was going on vacation.
Okay.
And he And they love this guy. They trusted him. Of course, a bus driver is pretty important for a band. I just didn't even realize how important the bus driver is. Oh, because, yeah. Like, this guy is your life in his hands. So he's got to be somebody who's sober, smart, you know what I mean? You know, exercises good judgment in terms of, like, his speed and stuff like that. And they came out, and they had a substitute bus driver, and it was this gentleman that was the bus driver who ended up being the bus driver for Ozzy, who flew the plane that killed Randy Rhoads. Oh. And they walked out, and they saw this guy, and they were like, no. They're like, we just got a bad... They refused to get on the bus with him. They're right there in front of him. They called their guy who was on vacation. They said, they paid him some obscene amount of money to come and just finish the tour. They paid him like triple or something like that. Please come. Then you take as long vacation you want. We don't care, but we cannot have... we absolutely cannot have this guy. And... But Ozzy didn't feel that way.
Yeah.
And
the rest is history.
The rest, as they say, is a hysterectomy.
Rock and roll is a history. Wow.
Yeah. So, you know, it's something you don't think about, the bus driver. And that was another thing, like when Cliff Burton got killed, James Hetfield pretty much blames the bus driver.
Yeah.
Pretty much says that, you know, this guy was, you know, not paying attention. Yes. Bill Damiano asked me a question. Sam Gabud, yes, Bill Damiano, that Sam Gabud.
Also, he said Live was originally called First Aid.
First Aid.
So we don't have to do the research.
We don't have to do it. Thank you. So, anyways, guys, so I just want to kind of add that sort of thing to. So what do we want to do? You want to go track by track? How you want to do it?
Well, I'm going to talk about the artwork real quick.
Okay, let's get into that. Yeah. Sounds good.
Just to go ahead and get that out of the way, I'm going to pull my visual aids out again so we can...
AIDS.
Look at them.
You fed AIDS.
I did say AIDS. So Stan Watts was an up-and-coming illustrator, photographer, when art director Jay Vigan approached him about creating the cover for Quiet Riot's first U.S. album, 1983's Metal Health. Watts had done the album art for Black Sabbath, the Doobie Brothers, Best of the Doobies, and Martin and Briley. I can't even stand you.
Martin Briley. You know what song Martin Briley does? You ain't the salt in my tears.
Yes.
Yeah. One hit wonder. Cool song, though.
As well as a poster for the 1981 horror flick, The Howling. But even now, 24 years later, Metal Health is arguably his best known project. They talked about the concept, which involved a straitjacket and some sort of Iron Maiden mask. Not the band, but the torture device. They wanted to create an icon that would represent the band. So Sarzo suggested they do something like the book, The Man in the Iron Mask, which you see the mask there.
Yes.
We figured, he said, we had a song called Metal Health, and we thought maybe we could have a fan on the cover who has gone insane. But who is the masked man?
Oh.
A lot of people thought it was Kevin DeBrow wearing the mask. But Kevin has brown eyes, and the one eye you can see peering through the mask is clearly blue. Oh. It turns out it was Watts himself who had hammered the mask out of aluminum, put Benelli's red leather motorcycle jacket on backwards so it would look like a straight jacket, and posed for the camera while his wife took the shot.
That's really cool. That's a great story. Cool.
There's more. He had a real low-tech approach to the work. The background was a moving blanket, not a padded room, so you can't really show emotion behind a mask. So precise lighting was used for the one eye
it's
that you can
see.
It's
very well lit. Yeah. Check it out. Even with this weird lighting in the studio, you can see.
One of my favorite elements is the four buttons of each member of the band on the straight jacket. The mask became really...
I never noticed it until, like... I was looking, studying up for the podcast. Oh, yeah.
So it is like a crazed fan who has the buttons of the
right,
button on
right.
there.
And that is just a backwards jacket. Yeah.
The mask became really popular with young people that everyone started making them in shop class, but Watts still owns the original mask to this day.
Oh, cool. And so it's not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Nope. Hasn't been auctioned off to charity or something.
He still has
but
it.
He has lent it to friends for Halloween.
There you go.
So cool. Very, I thought it was a very cool story for the artwork. So that's why I wanted to talk about it a little.
Yeah, that artwork is almost synonymous with that time period. I mean, my God, like you, that totally iconic. You immediately knew what that was the second you saw it. And it was a great choice, and he did a great job, and I hope they paid him really well.
I would hope. Unless it was too much for Kevin.
They let him keep the mask.
It was his.
They let him keep we can't pay, but you can keep the mask.
Yeah, thanks.
So, yeah. Good stuff.
That is, very, very cool.
I thought it was cool.
Raven and Willie Wolf need a t-shirt.
Oh, they're work looking for Hot Licks shirts because you had to wear that.
Bill Thomas says Dingle Dongle.
Well,
Todd Kane wants to know what the hell is going on.
A lot. We don't even know.
When we figure that out, we'll let you know, Doug. Okay, guys. So what do you got? So who wants to
go? Track
by track? Kevin, you have something?
Track by track.
Track by track.
Yeah, so we'll start off with mental health. To bone up, I just like to say that. To bone up for the podcast, I actually listened to the album the other day at work.
And today.
And today, that's right. I was annoying the neighbors. And, well, some of them.
You weren't annoying me.
But it's just so funny, the opening, you know, the opening song, Mental Health, just, it comes in with those drums. And it literally is a wall of sound. That opening chord. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you know exactly where you're going to go from there. And it sets the precedence for the whole album, I think. Just the tone of the guitars, what do you have? Oh, geez, here he goes. Oh,
here we
geez.
Go.
Yeah, exactly. Just like the beat, the heavy droning beat, the bass. And then you've got Kevin. Ah, you know, and it's like, yep,
with
I know.
Crazy face.
Yeah, I know exactly where this is going. Interesting thing, and Lily, you may have this too. The main riff and the structure of the song actually comes from an older track entitled No More Booze. Which was
No More what?
No More Booze.
Booze.
I think it was...
No More Booze!
That song was actually performed by a band called Snow, and that was Carlos and Tony Cavazos' pre-Quiet Riot band. So it's actually an older riff that they brought into Quiet Riot, which I thought was very cool. I'm like, oh, that's cool. Look, they were into recycling, weren't they?
They would go at it.
All right, Lily, your turn. Go ahead.
The song was heard in the 1984 film Footloose and its 2011 remake. It was also used in the opening credits of the movies Crank and The Wrestler and in a TV commercial for Hyundai for showing during CBS's coverage of the Super Bowl on February 3rd, 2013. And, of course, many, many, many of the Rock Band video games / Guitar Hero / all the things. But, this was being about the headbanging subculture. The song caught the attention of many heavy metal fans on its release. And then I had all the other stuff.
So. Yes. Lily and I are sharing the same brain today, apparently.
Oh, yay.
Yeah, I remember Eric Waggett walking around with a giant boombox kid that had a record player in it.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Cranking this, man. It was just like, but it was everywhere. Like, and you couldn't help but get excited when it came on. It's an exciting song.
Yeah,
it is. It gets
you know, the lyrics are kind of funny. I mean, it is a kind of, I don't know. It's not the most, you would think a song called Mental Health, would have like, well, okay, and maybe thoughtful lyrics.
Oh, boy.
But hence, 'twas not to be.
Are we going to explore?
Well, oh, I'm an axe grinder.
Yes.
Pile driver. Mm-hmm. Mama says that I never, never mind her. Got no brains. I'm insane. The teacher says that I'm one big pain. I'm like a laser, six-string razor. I got a mouth like an alligator. Ooh. Okay, he was trying to rhyme razor with
right,
laser
right.
And something.
He
came
tried.
With gator. I want it louder, more. Okay, more power. Again, more maybe more powder. I want it louder, more power. It's an imperfect rhyme. I'm going to rock it till it strikes the hour. Bang your head. Mental health will drive you mad. What is
beautiful.
It's like, well,
beautiful.
Yeah, bang your head. Mental health will drive you mid. Like, you could have worked out the lyrics a little bit better. But the second verse is too good, man. I'm frustrated, outdated. I really want to be overrated.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I'm a finder. I'm a keeper. I'm a loser. And I ain't no. Come on. All right. I don't know. Let's put a nursery rhyme in here. I'm not the loser. I'm not a loser. Wait. I got the boys to make the noise. Won't ever let up, hope it annoys you. Okay, that's kind of boys'
okay,
noise,
yeah,
annoys.
Yeah, sure.
Join the pack, feel the crack.
Which crack are we feeling?
Well, now you're here, there's no way back.
No, not
feel
after
the
that.
Oh, fill the crack.
Oh, well, even that.
Even that. He didn't say fill my crack. He said fill the crack.
The crack.
But which crack?
Mm.
Wow.
Just saying.
It's too good.
Yeah.
You guys are like, you quiet rioters, you know, you got something going on, man. You got something. I met Rudy Sarzo, by the way, one time. He was,
oh, that's fun.
Yeah, no, he was pretty laid back. He was, he's just become like a fixture. Like, he's like everybody's bass player. Who was he playing with? Either the Bullet Boys or Tracy Guns. I can't remember. It was one of the two. And I'm standing there and we're talking about something and there's these couple of the guys and we're all talking about like the setting up the stage and everything. And this guy's talking, look at him, going like, wait a minute, are you Rudy Sarzo? He goes, yeah. I was like, oh my God, I saw you watching on MTV. And I shook his hand. I didn't want to like be like totally fanned
out.
That
guy, yeah.
But you don't want to be the fanboy.
I was like, cool, dude. Well, it was cool.
Nice. See, I would have been like.
And so there's a picture of me. There's pictures of me with standing. We were playing and I'm standing in front of his rig. Nice. Jamming. Nice. And whatever, dude. Stupid. Okay, anyway, so let's go to the next song.
The next song is Come On, Feel the Noise by English rock band Slade, covered by Quiet Riot on this album. Their version went on to reach number 5 on the Billboard in November 1983. Drew huge nationwide attention in the late 80s in LA metal scene and also helped to break Slade belatedly in the United States in 1984, mm-hmm. So they helped them a little bit. The song was certified gold, and originally lead vocalist Kevin DeBrow was dead set on not covering the song because he wanted the band to write every song on the album. In addition, he was not a big fan of Slade.
No.
Instead, the band decided to try to cover a song as badly as they could, so the label would refuse to release it. The first Slade knew about Quiet Riot was when they approached their publisher for permission to do Come On, Feel the Noise. They agreed, never believing something like this would happen. The really nice thing about the whole affair is that it proves how strong their songs are. After Come On, Feel the Noise, it was a 10-year-old song by that point. So it stood the test of time in Slade's head. They've actually been approached in the recent past by people wanting them to update their classics. Quiet Riot definitely made it their own. So Slade was cool with it, but seems like Kevin wasn't cool with it. So they never obviously connected there.
I think it's funny that like they kind of purposely did a shitty, what they consider to be a shitty version and it ends up going to number 5 on Billboard.
Yes. Winner.
Well, I, it was a, irrepressible, again, just one of those things you just absolutely could not get away from. Come On, Feel the Noise. This is sort of a quote from Rudy Sarzo talking about it. Where did he say? In an interview for a book, MTV Ruled the World, The Early Years of Music Video, Rudy Sarzo mentions that MTV was fundamental to the success of Come On, Feel the Noise, saying, I would say that everybody had a cable system watched MTV. And you remember this time when people didn't have cable? Yeah. I didn't for a long time.
Oh, yeah. I found somebody that had cable and befriended them.
So he said, I would say that everybody that had a cable system watched MTV, and our video was on every half hour. We went to number one, and we had to bump off Thriller to get to number one. Mm-hmm. So if you guys know anything about your like 80s rock history, MTV history, Thriller was a freaking juggernaut.
Yeah.
I mean, like, it was the best selling album. Forever. It surpassed Dark Side of the Moon, which was the best selling album forever.
Forever. Prior to that. Mm-hmm.
Prior to that. So, I mean, for them to be able to do that is a real achievement. It's a great song. We have to give a shout out, though, to the original band Slade. And if you don't know much about Slade, I highly recommend there's some great documentaries on YouTube about them. And they are a bunch of fun guys that like to play rock and roll. They're very kind of like... uh-huh. Just kind of like working class dudes like the rock.
Yeah.
They're not pretentious or, you know, they weren't really all about the looks or whatever. They certainly were not. No. They looked like guys who you'd just see in a pub. Yeah. You know, up on stage.
This one looks like an Oboe, but I'm sorry. I can't remember his name. But
this dude is still rocking some version of this haircut.
Sure. No doubt.
And it's like crazy. Yeah. It looks really crazy. He looks really crazy. But in any case, So you think I got an evil mind? Ooh. I'll tell you, honey, that I don't know why. So you think my singing's out of time? It makes me money. I don't know why. I don't know why anymore. Oh, no. Come on, feel the noise. Girls, rock your boys. Get wild, 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 wild. And so on. And so on.
And that's where the girls flip their hair.
Et cetera.
Yep. Et cetera. Et cetera. Et cetera. So, yeah, I'm not going to get into the whole thing. It's good. The lyrics. I think the lyrics on the song are kind of tongue-in-cheek. I got to sing with some disgrace. I ain't in no hurry. So you think I got a funny face. I ain't got no worries. So it's a kind of like, yeah, screw you. Mm-hmm. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Now I ain't the prettiest guy on the block, but, you know, come on, feel the noise. Because we're going to rock you. Cool song. Now, this next song is a interesting song. Yes. What is it?
Don't Want to Let You Go.
Yeah, Don't Want to Let You Go. Let's talk about that briefly.
Do you have anything on that?
No, just okay. My own stuff. But so.
All right, so three songs in, the band shows off their quieter side for this song, Don't Want to Let You Go.
Quiet, Ryan. Quiet, Ryan.
Shh. It's a song of love and heartbreak.
But it's not really indeed, a ballad. It's not
no,
really
it's
like
not,
a ballad.
But it is indeed proving that they can start a quiet riot.
Oh, I see what they did there.
It's very stylistic of glam metal music. Very laid back, no heavy riffs or screams. I do love that he still uses his, and this just might be because it's his voice, the gravelly voice
during
the song.
Right.
Which I love that he didn't take that away just because it was a ballad. Mm-hmm. Or like a ballad.
Balladish.
So that's what I have for
Bill Damiano yeah. and Chris Thunderwolf Dodson are having their own conversation.
I know, like, pay attention, bro.
Yeah, cause, excuse me. It's a podcast.
We're here. Don't make me take my shirt off.
Keep talking, guys. Keep talking.
I like this song.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it is I think it's like a solid pop tune. And I think it could easily have been released as
a single. It could have been a single.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's in... When I heard it, I was going, oh, this is kind of almost in that like Eddie Money kind of vein. Mm-hmm. Not like super heavy, but good guitar, but not like, definitely not like the first two tracks at all. So I think it's like a solid track. And I was a little like, oh man, this could have been the third single. Maybe they just, you know, I don't know. Maybe somebody did try to release it. I don't know, but, I think it's a cool jam.
Yeah. Kind of makes me sad that, people who are not fans of Quiet Riot will pass over all the rest of this. Well, not all of them, but more than
I gotta say, all in all, this record is pretty good.
There's filler.
There's some things, yeah. So, Kevin, you want to add anything? Or
no, okay. No.
All right, Lily, what do you got? What's the next song?
Slick Black Cadillac, which I heard playing from above me this afternoon when I went out to have
was
one of
Jesus
my cigarettes.
Was Jesus playing it for
Jesus
was playing it
I
for
think
you.
It was you. I went
no,
outside.
It might have been me.
I look up and I'm like, what's going on? And he was playing it, so.
Do I look Mexican to you?
It's actually a re-recorded version of the same song from Quiet Riot 2 written in 1978. Right. And also one of my favorites to actually hear live when they play it 90% of the time. So I've heard it is their second song that they do play. I feel, now I've listened to both versions today, I feel that this version is actually more energetic than the original, but both are amazing.
Okay.
But this one is a little more punch to it, and I just love hearing it. And my sister, who I've taken to the Quiet Riot show, is like, oh, I know this song. So it's, she's
know
funny
this
like
song?
That. She's like, you play this all the time in the car. So is one of the ones I play when driving.
This got some radio play.
Oh, yeah for
yeah,
sure.
It definitely got some radio
and
play.
And it's still on Hair Nation all the time, so.
Yeah, great song. My first car was a Cadillac. So, of course, this just bring, and I, you know, Kevin's singing, and this Kevin is in his Cadillac driving around with
Kevin.
Yeah, like Kevin Squared, isn't it? And it's just a fun song. And I just have this, you have this mental picture of this big black Cadillac with the solid gold hubcaps. And
I feel like there are girls pouring out of the back of it, you know, in my mind. That's how I feel.
Double your Kevin, double your fun.
That's right.
And this is one I like to drive to.
Tracy Sampson gave us an angry face.
Why?
So somebody.
That's probably me wanting to take my shirt off. Because that's my mother.
Just kidding, Mom. Just kidding.
I was like, I saw the angry face. And this is how paranoid I am about what people think.
No.
It was an angry face. Who was it?
That's her way to yell at me.
Maybe I should send him a gift card and apologize.
For your mom, I'll take my shirt off. How's that? There we go.
Kevin will take his shirt off.
There we go.
This is like a minor hit, radio, like album hit, album cut that got played on the radio. I don't know what else to say about it. It's a good straight up rock and roll song.
Yes.
Okay.
Fun times.
Love's a bitch.
Love is a bitch, I'll tell you.
So I'm at work. I would tell you, I'm listening to this album the other day at work, you know, getting ready for the podcast. Mm-hmm. And I'm listening, you know, through my phone, and it's in the back, and I'm kind of in the front on the line. I work in a restaurant, and this song comes on. And I'm like, I scream out, oh, my God, I love this song. And I'm like, oh, and I'm just looking around, and people are like, you okay? I'm like, so I really do like this song. So, yeah.
So you like this song. What do you like about it?
There's a lot of emotion in Kevin. Like, we've all been in this place where it's just like, oh, F love. Because you know what? Mm. It's a bitch. And, you know, and if you really listen to the song, there's a lot of emotion in Kevin's voice. And I'm like, he nailed it. He nailed it. Exactly. So that's what I really dug.
You got anything on this one?
I don't have any sort of history on it, though. But this is a self-explanatory. He's in love. He was scorned. There are some really great power chords, and I think since this is the last song on the first side, I think it ended good for the first side of the album.
I did not listen to this on any kind of like vinyl or cassette tape where it'd be turned one side or the other. I think the song sucks.
I like this one.
Just personally, I just not. Oh, I was like, to me, it's like a kind of a cliche kind of sentiment. Love's a bitch. Well, didn't Jay Giles do a way better song called Love Stinks like a couple years before? Well, like,
they all do at least one.
So I just sort of felt like, it just didn't flip. It didn't do it for me. I get the sentiment. Cool. I got you. We have the next song is Breathless, not to be confused with the Madonna song.
Right, no. And I really expected this to be like a way softer song when I heard the name of it, but it's definitely not.
Breathless.
Considered by fans that I've read to be an amazing studio track and could have been released as a single, this is one that strays a little bit from the typical sound on the album. Like, there are a bunch of them that do. They're not like, you know, Metal Health or anything, but like I said, it's really expected this one to be a lot softer because of the name.
Because of the name.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you can't always go.
No.
You can't just assume.
You can't.
Nope. And then the next track is Run for Cover.
Right.
Another song that a non-Quiet Riot fan would skip, but fans of the album and the band consider to be one of the best songs they have. Fast-paced, kind of like a crash bang sort of song.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
One to crash a car to. That kind of thing.
Song to crash your car to. There's a podcast. 10 songs to crash your car to.
Write it down.
There we go.
Write it down.
Maybe that'll be the mail next.
There's
week.
Actually a Motley Crue compilation called that Songs to Crash
really?
Your car to.
Oh, I just made the connection. So
wow, that is it's kind of in poor taste.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Not you, but them. Yeah. It's not you. You're just saying what did he do?
It's not too soon.
What do you got? Can you
back in the day, you and I used to feature local bands, and we'd be like, you know, this band sounds like this. And I was listening to this song today, Run for Cover, and I had to catch myself because I'm like, oh, I hear a lot of like Def Leppard influences. And I'm like, no, it's the other way around. I wonder if maybe Def Leppard, you know, was influenced by this song.
Legit.
Because a lot of the guitar riffs, a lot of the singing and stuff. And I'm like, oh, that's kind of Def Leppard-ish.
My take on Kevin Dubrow's singing is a kind of not as good Freddie Mercury. Good voice, but mm-hmm. not.
I could see that.
But not as good. But he's got that Mercury timbre to his voice. I'm not, like, before somebody starts in the comments, I know what you're talking about.
Oh, that's what we want to hear.
you know, and I think that you could kind of categorize Quiet Riot as a kind of like less talent, less, you know, definitely not the kind of vocal abilities and stuff that, you know, and not as good a songwriters as Queen, but kind of a Queen-esque kind of thing going on in places, especially with Kevin singing. I mean, these guys are solid. I don't want to dog them. They're totally solid. And God rest in peace, Frankie Benali, Kevin Dubrow, Randy Rose. I mean, well, Randy, but that's a different story. But these guys are solid. They were solid players. They were as good as they needed to be in Quiet Riot.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's just put it that way. You know, nothing on this is going to be like jaw-droppingly cool. Kevin is a really good singer. He's kind of like the kind of he's kind of the icing on the cake. He's the kind of really what you're kind of listening for. You know, the grooves and everything. Of course, the riffs are great, but he's the guy who's really kind of like the salesman. He's selling it to mm-hmm. you. And I think that he does a fantastic job overall on this album. You want to talk about Battle Axe?
Well, yeah, I do want to say one more thing. Toward the end of the song, there's that nice little drum solo thing going on, too, which I thought was kind of cool. All right.
Battle Axe. Cool song title. Consists of a minute and a half, a little more than, solo by Cavazzo. It's kind of not an easy task when you have to follow Randy Rhoads' footsteps be in the band. I think he, for the majority of the album, he does hold his own. And it's cool that he got his own track. I don't know if I love this one, though.
here's my issue with this track, okay? First of all, if you're going to you're going to do a stop the album, essentially, and have somebody play an instrumental guitar jam. Uh-huh. Essentially, that's what this is.
Yeah.
It's not like an instrumental piece.
Right.
It better be at least as good as Eruption.
Right.
Like, I mean, come on, man. This was the era, like, you know. And Carlos was a totally solid guitar player. I mean, he blows me away. I mean, he's a great guitar player. But he's not, there's nothing special about this track. It just didn't need to be on there. You know, it's maybe something you do live.
It was kind of just,
exactly.
You know? It was kind of just dark and brooding. It didn't have, like, meaning.
It didn't really have a lot of, I don't know what, it just wasn't, his tone is good, and he can play and everything, but there's nothing that really jumps out. I mean, you got to think about the other guitar players that were out there at this time, you know what I mean?
You're competing.
And, you know, so the guy that is known for, let's put a guitar, unaccompanied guitar jam on, is Eddie Van Halen with Eruption. So if you're going to do that, you got to make something that sounds at least that good.
Yeah.
And if you can't do that, you shouldn't. Just don't do it. This is just done. I mean, this was a major rock release. This was, you know, this wasn't some, like, you know, indie album that, you know, and it's, I don't know. What do you think about it, Kevin?
Yeah. As I listen to it, I'm like, it's like a lot of guitar tricks that, you know, like, okay, I'm going to play this scale. And now I'm going to use the selector switch as a kill switch. You know, and I'm like, it's just all like where like Eddie's Eruption was like completely
artwork.
But also Eddie is like, just in terms of like what he did, that Eruption is innovative. Like it changed guitar. Like nobody knew. This is a great, even Rick Beato, who's an amazing musician, talked about when he first started. He's like, what the hell? How can he play those arpeggios? Oh, took him a while to figure out he was tapping. So, like, that's groundbreaking. Like, that's just where the bar was set. I'm sorry. Like, you know what I mean? The bar was set there. So if that's where the bar is, man, you got to do something at least that good if you're going to do something like this.
For as successful as this album was in being, like, the entrance to hair metal, he probably should have showboated just a little more.
Yeah, either done something, either like worked
not do
out,
it at all,
worked or, out, not do it all, or sat down and worked at some really cool sounding instrumental piece, like you know, like Van Halen even did it again, like when he did like 316 and stuff like that. That's a piece. That's a like a real like little guitars. Yes. You know, those are like pieces that are like have like a kind of, you know, you could, they're listenable. It's not just somebody
noodling around. Yeah, yeah.
So keep that. That's just a thought on that. I know we're being tough on Carlos. I love him. I think he's a great guitar player.
He's gonna come kill you.
Yeah, he's probably gonna show up here tomorrow.
Hello, Lou.
He ain't doing nothing right now.
Let's get crazy.
Okay.
Not to be confused with the Prince song.
Right. That's exactly. Right. This song is pure all American rock in its truest form about having sex, and I don't care what anyone says.
I'm sorry, we have to end this podcast now.
No,
I have to talk about it on every podcast. Just stop. It's not about laying you in the bed of roses.
Another frowny from your mom.
Way to go, Lily.
We're not gonna get anywhere like this.
That's okay, she likes it. It's not about laying you in a bed of roses and being all gentle and stroking your hair. It's kind of sweaty, grab you caveman style, throw you on the bed.
I'm over here going, I'm just agreeing.
I'm sure many people have done it to this song. I don't care. And as I was reading about the album, I find that a lot of people really love this song, even over the hits on the album. And I like the gong that Benelli has.
Check it out. My big question.
Thanks for the tip, Jim. I will adjust the microphone. Go ahead.
Okay. The big question I have is, which lips does he want to kiss?
Well, he says the one. I don't mean the ones on your face.
Right. So then,
says.
Then which ones?
Oh, you don't know. This explains a lot of things.
Guys, listen to me. Listen. We're gonna have to get off the subject because Chris Thunderwolf Dotson says my daughter Skylar is watching tonight while doing homework.
She's college. She's been there.
Nice
still,
try.
We're fine.
Still, I don't. You know, this is a family show now.
It's actually not.
God damn it.
It's actually not.
It's a fucking family show.
Oh,
oh my
God. Wow. You know why I said fuck? Because I didn't want to say F word.
Oh, that's good.
I didn't feel like going through the, putting through the F word of saying F word. That's so annoying.
The F word. How old are we?
Oh, my God. Hate that F word.
I don't know. So, and there is, now there is one sort of total straight up ballad.
Yes.
That totally strays from the rest of the album because he doesn't even do the gravelly voice in this one.
No.
Thunderbird, dedicated to guitarist and founding member Randy Rhoads. The bulk of the song was written for Rhoads while he was still alive, but Kevin added one final verse as a tribute to Rhoads after he died in the plane crash in 1982. So my whole synopsis on this, unless you want to talk more about that.
No, no, go ahead.
Is if you can get past the usual hits on the album, you can see that the band is a little more multidimensional than you expect. They're not all let's do the dirty and all that other stuff.
So they're not Motley Crue.
Right. Yes.
He means that in a nice way.
Well, this isn't Shout at the Devil. This is there. Right, you know, they do have, and this is where I kind of hear the Queen kind of influence. Mm-hmm. You know, with the band for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So Kevin Dubrow, rest in peace.
Right.
Frankie Benelli.
Frankie Benelli.
Recently.
Yes.
Yes.
2019.
So, yeah.
Who I did get to meet briefly at the one Quiet Riot show that I did see. So. Wow.
So if you guys haven't listened to it in a while, well, it's interesting to listen to. It's got it's got some very cool moments. It's got some
ups and downs.
You know, it'll have some that you like, and you may disagree with either any one of us on. No, I actually like this. Whatever, it's all good.
But we're always right.
Yeah, if you have a favorite track, go ahead and mention that in the comments, and we will maybe hit get back to that in a minute. But I want to talk about something else that very important that happened this day in music.
Yes.
And this is the 36th anniversary of Live Aid.
Yep. Oh, I totally forgot about that.
And where were you? Let's go around the room. Kevin, did you watch it?
I believe I was in the Army and actually watching it in the day room.
Okay.
Yeah.
I watched it in the living room of my parents' house. I was wearing my...
Yes.
I was wearing the shirt that said Feed the World.
Oh, really?
I had one of those big oversized shirts. Remember the big shirts?
Yes.
It was a big fad for you're too young to remember.
They
were white and had block letters. One they have like
Lily always has to wear big shirts.
I know those shirts.
So I had that and I had it for years. I had that shirt. Yeah.
Where I was probably playing with my Sesame Street toys, I will have to ask my mom if she had watched it, although knowing who was performing, she probably did. It was 1985, but I was 4 years old, so probably playing with my Sesame Street toys.
And I'll be playing with my toys. Paul McCartney, Phil Collins, The Who, U2,
yes.
David Bowie, Mick Jagger,
sure.
Tina Turner,
yes.
Duck Cars, Neil Young, Tom Petty, Bob Dylan, Ryan Adams, Hall & Oates, Lionel Richie and Led Zeppelin.
Queen.
It was Queen, of course. Oh. Led Zeppelin reunited for this. And it was just one great artist after another. And it went to a charity raising over 40 million pounds. I don't know pounds of what?
No.
Monies.
Lou, no.
40 million pounds of crap. Monies.
No, Lou. Pounds are money. It's money in England.
160 countries.
Yeah, that's
it went
crazy.
To. And it was just the thing. It was a beautiful summer day, but man, I was inside watching TV because I wanted to see who was going to be next, what was going to happen next. There were some interesting interactions between different artists that you weren't sure. Like Dylan came out and performed with Ron Wood and Keith Richards backing him up.
Yeah.
That was freaking cool.
Crazy.
Like whether you like, and they sang Tangled, he did Tangled Up in Blue. I remember it. Just one thing after another. The Queen thing, we were mesmerized by. U2 played their ass off. They were just, I mean, that was like meant for U2. That was like their thing. You know what I mean? Lily's got something.
I did math. What they made in today's money was $106
billion.
Billion with a B?
Billion with a B. Billion. Wow.
Billion. All right, so, 100 billion. $1 million.
All right, so quick about the U2. If you remember the U2 segment,
yeah.
Where he went down and pulled the girls out of the crowd because they were getting crushed because the crowd was moving forward. So they were supposed to do 3 songs. They only got to do 2 because he was down there. You know how he is, saving people at Bono.
Because he thinks he's God.
Yeah. So that night in the hotel, the rest of U2, they're mad because they wanted to do that 3rd song. That was their big hit. They were going to fire Bono. They were going to fire him until the next morning. Their manager called and they're like, he's like, you're not going to believe this. You're all over the world now because of what happened. They're like, oh, I guess we'll keep him.
Yeah. I believe, and somebody can, this is not stated in the movie, but the impression I got is when, as Queen is walking onto the stage in the movie with Bohemian Rhapsody, mm-hmm. the band that is coming off, I believe, is supposed to be U2. Now, I don't know if U2 played before them or not in real life, but it, the hair, the clothes,
oh,
I
no,
mean,
it really. That's totally who that was supposed to be.
Really looked like, you know, I was with, I'm like, I think I'm supposed to be U2. So Live Aid, dude, cool. Like, man, you know, come on. Which is, and I don't know how else to explain it to you guys out there that, you know, are young or whatever, because it was not like today where you go to YouTube anytime you watch a video or something, like,
right,
you
no.
couldn't see these people unless you paid the money to go to the concerts. And like, unless you were Lily V6, who goes to every concert that ever happens, most of us would never be able to see these bands. Oh, it's a compliment. Would know this band would not ever be able to see. I mean, the freaking Rolling Stones, like, you know, like.
I've seen them.
So it's like, you know, one amazing act after another, like all in one day.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a sort of feeling of kind of like everybody who watched it. So you sort of felt like a part of something mm-hmm. bigger than yourself. It was a great feeling. And so it's very hard thing to sort of describe in an era where we have absolutely, you can watch anything anytime you want. Like,
it's not,
you know,
the same, guys. It's really not the same to watch it on a screen as it is to go to the show.
I understand that, but even that, because going to Live Aid would have been tough. You then,
right.
It was 2 venues too. It was on both sides of the ocean.
Yeah.
It was in Philadelphia and London.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, people who watch it on YouTube today, even going to a concert today, it's not the same. That's
exactly.
why I did not.
No, right. And so you could go to YouTube and watch it, but like, it was a thing that happened in a moment.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It was a, you know, and you just felt part of this thing. You just want, like, I knew that I was like way too young to go to see it, you know, in live, but I felt like, well, there's a way I can be a part of it. My sister and I both, we were really into it and watched it and really enjoyed it.
Very cool.
Okay. So. There is, I was going to tell Kevin, there was no Beatles news today.
But you lied.
Oh, there's always Beatles news.
Over 100 U.S. radio stations banned the Beatles' new single, The Ballad of John and Yoko Ono, due to the line, "Christ, you know it ain't easy."
Wow.
Right.
Calling offensive. It offensive.
Oh. What was offensive in 1969?
69. On this day in 1968.
Yes.
Black Sabbath played their very first Ooh. Gig at a small backstreet blues club in Birmingham, England.
Nice.
Wow.
On this day in 1967, Pink Floyd appeared on Top of the Pops. On this day in 1966, Ike and Tina, Deep River Mountain High, peaked at number 3 in the UK singles chart, earning them a gig opening for the Rolling Stones. Their success has tragic consequences as Ike gets more and more violent toward Tina, who endures years of abuse. I'm not sure why they had to crowbar that in there. That had nothing to do with this day in music. All I want is keep my name. Just give me my name. I'll keep my name. Remember the movie?
Yes. Yeah. What's Love Got to Do with It? Yes.
That's great. That's awesome. Same. She's smart, man. She knew exactly what she was doing.
She had to. That was her identity.
Yep. On this day in 1974, Elton John started a 2-week run at number 1 on the UK album charts. Studio release Caribou, 3rd number 1 album. Album contained the singles Don't Let...
Say it right.
Don't Let Your Son Go
not,
Down.
It's not it.
And The Bitch Is Back. Springsteen and the E Street Band played their first of a 3-night 6-show residency at the newly opened Bottom Line in New York City. The Sex Pistols, speaking of bands in trouble, BBC announced a ban on the Sex Pistols' latest single on this day in 1978, No One Is Innocent, which featured vocals by Ronnie Biggs, the British criminal notorious for his part in the Great Train Robbery of 1963. At the time of the recording, Biggs was living in Brazil and was still wanted by British authorities, but immune from extradition.
Huh.
So they were ticked off. Like, how did the Sex Pistols get to this guy? And we couldn't. So, yeah, you can't pay radio. Duran Duran became the first artist to have number one on the U.S. singles charts with a James Bond theme, A View to a Kill. Really?
Yep.
The Carly Simon song wasn't, and the Paul McCartney songs weren't number one hits?
Really?
I would have thought those would have been, you know, big hits. Huh. Here is a, on this day in 1985, Elton John again. Five album deal worth $8 million, the biggest advance in history at this time when he signed to MCA on this day in 1985. Representatives of 50 of America's largest record retailers were guests at Michael Jackson's home in Encino, California to preview his new album, Bad. The LP would go on to sell over 30 million copies worldwide. Sad news, you guys know the artist, the soul R&B artist, Curtis Mayfield.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
This was the day in 1990 when he was injured, which caused him to be in a wheelchair for the rest of his life, which he still produced music, but he was very bummed out that he couldn't play guitar. He had a very unusual guitar style, and he was not able to do that anymore. And it did shorten his life, unfortunately. Yeah. Yeah. Number one on the UK singles chart with Everything I Do It For You, Bryan Adams from the Prince of Thieves.
I love that movie. I'm such a girl.
Yeah, you are.
And for that movie, yes.
This is for all you guitar aficionados out there. On this day in 1996, over 2,000 guitar players, including Chet Atkins and Jeff Skunk Baxter, set a new world record for the largest jam session ever when they played Heartbreak Hotel for 75 minutes at Nashville's Riverfront Park. The previous record was set in Vancouver on May 7th, 94, when Randy Bachman led up 1,322 amateur guitarists in a performance that lasted 68 minutes. So Chet and Skunk said, Randy, we can do a little bit better. This day in 97, Red Hot Chili Peppers, Anthony Kiedis underwent 5 hours of hospital surgery after being involved in a very serious motorcycle accident. Mm. The trial against John Denver for drunken driving ended in a hung jury, deadlocked 3-3. Denver's defense attorney argued that the singer suffered from a thyroid condition that had distorted blood alcohol tests.
Yeah,
that sounds like a
Why didn't I use that?
Ticket.
Damn.
Anyways, guys, and so that is that's pretty much it. The birthdays are Roger McGuinn.
Oh, there you go.
Roger McGuinn. Happy birthday to Roger McGuinn. Stephen Blad, drummer for Jay Giles Band.
Mm-hmm.
Mark Mendoza, bassist from Twisted Sister.
Oh, yeah.
So Gerald Levert, who had the song Casanova.
Mm-hmm.
And he died of a heart attack at 40 years old.
Wow.
Think you're too young. Watch out, guys.
Mm-hmm.
1, 2, Freddy's coming for you. So you guys have been listening to Ludini Rock and Roll Circus, LudiniRockandRollCircus.com, LouLombardiMusic.com, all kind of free goodies there, WolfsCustoms.online, get some custom work done on your musical instrument, RockRageRadio.com, download the app. It ain't no crap.
It's free.
And it's free. I tell you me.
Here we
go. No, I will never be a rapper.
That's probably
Thank
a good thing.
Goodness.
I'll never be a rapper, especially when I'm on a crapper. it's not going to work.
I see what you did there.
Anyways, it's almost as good as the lyrics to Mental Health.
So
Mental Health.
So close to being.
Yeah, so close. You know, there's a fine line.
Here it is.
Between, what is
no,
it?
You didn't.
Genius and stupidity. Is that it? Is that
the
one?
Lily V6, tell us what you tell us about your
exploit. My show. Okay, so my show is Hot Licks with Lily Six on Rock Ridge Radio. Go to rockridgeradio.com, or you can download, like Lou said, the app for free on your smartphone. My show is 6 p.m. Eastern on Thursdays.
If you are anywhere in the Leesburg, Virginia area on Saturday, I am playing at the Tally Ho.
I like that name.
With Supervana, we are a Nirvana tribute band. Don't judge me. And it's a fun show. And if you are, come on, want to rock out to Nirvana, it's so funny because when we do these Super Vonda gigs, I mean, there'll be people in the audience with tears streaming down their face.
And, I've seen your shows.
You know, they get really into it. I'm like, you know, we're actually not Nirvana.
Yeah, but they're feeling the music.
I know. It's very cool. So it's a good thing. And if you're a fan of Nirvana, so come check it out at the Tally Ho in Leesburg. And that is pretty much it. Kevin, do you have any, maybe a quote or anything you would like to...
No, but I've been sitting here thinking, I think I figured it out. I think I know which lips you want to kiss. I figured it out.
Just come on, feel the noise.
All right, guys. Have a great week, and we'll catch you all on the next Ludini Rock and Roll Circus.